Following is a presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
He said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
And that's the sound of your Wednesday officially underway right here on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video per usual on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Hey, what's up? What's the good word? How are you? Glad to be with you during this Wednesday installment of the Sports Hub here on FSA. Wednesday means what? Wolves midweek. Yes, indeed. Appreciate that. Thank you for the howl there. Is that thunder over there? I think that's probably thunder over there. Coming up here in the next 15 minutes on the program, we're going to put the season to bed for the Northern State football squad. Head coach Mike Schmidt, he'll be joining us live in studio coming up here in the next 10 to 15 minutes on the show and recap the season that was. What's on tap for the program? Exit interviews, transfer portal, next season schedule, all those sorts of things. We're going to talk about all of that and more coming up with head coach Mike Schmidt in the next 10 to 15 minutes on the program. Of course, a loaded slate in the NSIC last night, sans Northern State. Mother Nature said, I don't think so. 5.2 inches of the white stuff there yesterday. And I got to tell you, I did not miss pushing that snowfall yesterday. You know, it's just one of those things. I love snow. This may be a hot take, but I do like snow, especially come wintertime. We're starting to feel a little Christmassy. You're in that holiday season. You've got Thanksgiving tomorrow, which, by the way, Thanksgiving wishes, warm Thanksgiving wishes to you and yours. I hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving and you spend some family time with your loved ones and what have you. Oh, by the way, speaking of which, it's just yours truly today. You might notice that Cobra not here in studio. If you're watching on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page, he had a hard time getting out yesterday because of Mother Nature. He texted me. We're texting back and forth this morning, and I said, "Did you get out this morning?" And he said, "Well, I'm on standby right now." And a couple hours go by. He texts me. He goes, "The gate agent said, well, today is your lucky day." So he is headed back east to spend some much-needed family time there, and want to wish Cobra, of course, nothing but the best of safe travels there and warm wishes to the family of Cobras out there. I know it's not a family of Cobras. What is a family of Cobras? Is that a thing? Like a tangle? A tangle of Cobras? Is that how that works out? You know? Tangle of them? I don't know. Nevertheless, want to wish him a very, very happy Thanksgiving, especially to you and yours, all of you loyal listeners here on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. A very warm Thanksgiving wish, but not necessarily a busy day yesterday in terms of Northern State, because they were nixed. They are taking on Jamestown tonight. That'll be at 5:30 and 7:30 on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, with yours truly on the play-by-play tonight there from the Barnett Center, from Walks Arena, from the historic Don Meyer Court. So no Cobra today. Let's go ahead and get to the jump, though, certainly on FSA. Talk about some of the NSIC notes from last night. A couple of upsets, in my opinion, anyway. I mean, it's kind of like week one in the NFL, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's tough to say it's an upset, you probably think it is because you look back at last season and you say, oh, this team isn't very good. They're not going to beat that team. But then again, you've got transfer portal. You've got players coming and going, graduates and what have you. So on paper, it's an upset, but we'll have to kind of wait and see how the entire season continues to progress and figure out if it really is an upset or not. More details about that here in just a few short moments. We've got some Vikings news with J.J. McCarthy coming up here shortly. But first and foremost, I am a big this date in sports history guy. You know, I love it. I love a good old-fashioned this day in sports history. Now, technically, I am one day tardy on this one because this happened on November the 25th, 2001, and he always seems to make an appearance on the Sports Hub from time to time. He's one of my favorite coaches of all time, not so much for what he did from the wins and losses perspective or Super Bowls or division titles or all those sorts of things, but incredible sound bites. I'm talking about, you know him, you love him, Mr. Playoffs himself, Jim Mora. Yes, on November the 25th, 2001, after a lackluster 5-turnover performance by the Indianapolis Colts, which, ironically enough, quarterbacked by Peyton Manning that day, Jim Mora was not very happy about the effort from the squad there that day.
And that was a disgraceful performance, in my opinion. We threw that game. We gave it away by doing that. We gave them the friggin' game. In my opinion, that sucked. You know, you can't turn the ball over five times like that. Holy crap, I don't know who the hell we think we are when we do something like that. Unbelievable. That's pitiful. I mean, it's absolutely pitiful to perform like that. Pitiful. If our defense hadn't played halfway decent against a great offensive football team, they might have scored 60.
Yeah.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs?
Oh, yeah.
You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Oh, man. That was the moment, huh? Don't you just love it? Anytime we can go into the bag of playoffs, we're going to absolutely make it happen. So good stuff there from Jim Mora on this date in sports history. That one came from November the 25th in 2001 there, as it were. I just love that rant. It's one of my all-time favorite rants. And he had another one that I can't play on the radio. He even dropped a couple of colorful words there, but those are all radio-friendly, you know? But he had a couple other moments in Saints lore where he just really laid all in. My favorite one is, we couldn't do diddly-poo offensively. That's just the best. You cannot beat that. And I guarantee you at some point in time, as Mike Schmidt, he'll be joining us here in the next segment, I guarantee you there's going to be a game over the next handful of years that Northern loses, and he's not going to be happy with his guys. I guarantee you, it's going to happen. But I don't ever foresee head coach Mike Schmidt busting out the "we couldn't do diddly poo" offensively. I don't think it's going to happen. I just don't see it happening. But one never knows. Well, let's transition to the NFL here. This just came out this morning for all you Vikings fans out there. Vikings, Seahawks. This upcoming Sunday, that'll be over at Lumen Field. And this came out from Diana Russini earlier on this morning, that Vikings quarterback J.J. McCarthy, of course, who entered concussion protocol earlier on this week, is not expected to play on Sunday against the Seahawks, according to sources. And I don't know. Far be it from me, Mr. Conspiracy Theorist over here. Is it just me, or does this feel like another soft benching? You know, doesn't it? Just like a little bit? Just a little bit. He had that really rough start to the season, had an awful, awful performance against the first two games of the season. Did have that great comeback, though, on Monday night to beat the Bears. But had the ankle injury. It's like, eh, he's got an ankle injury. He's progressing. It's going to be a couple weeks. And then a couple weeks turned into multiple weeks. And it's like, well, he's just not really quite ready to get back yet. And I think it was a Thursday night game. Might have been a Thursday night game. It was a primetime game against the Rams. I think it was against the Rams, if memory serves correctly. And Carson Wentz is running up the sideline. He gets out of bounds, and he lands right at J.J. McCarthy's feet. And J.J. jumps up in the air, and he's like doing the first down signal and clapping. It's like, yeah, that ankle looks okay. Then he comes back, and he's just not been good. 12 of 19 passing, 83 yards and two interceptions against Green Bay. And like I said earlier this week, you've got the Seahawks this upcoming weekend, and Boye Mafe, Derek Hall, Leonard Williams, Byron Murphy, Dexter Lawrence, Tyrese Knight. I just look at that front seven, Ernest Jones, and I'm like, they pressured Cam Ward on 40 of his 42 dropbacks last Sunday. Think about that for a second. Pressure in your lap on 40 of 42 dropbacks. That's almost unheard of. And you've got J.J. McCarthy back there. Maybe we see what else we got here at quarterback. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But to me, in my opinion, sort of feels like a soft benching. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm looking too much into things. But as a Seahawks fan, I got to tell you, I'm a little nervous. I am. Max Brosmer is going to get the start there. Max Brosmer is going to get the start there on Sunday. Likely. It's not official yet. It's only Wednesday. Kevin O'Connell's not going to come out today and say, yep, he's out. And he's going to say he's probably going through the process and those sorts of things. You don't have to reveal all these health details on Wednesday. Probably on Friday. But it's trending that JJ is going to be out for this game, so you kind of know what you're going to get from number nine. You're going to get less than 250 yards passing, probably a couple picks, and not a very good performance. Max Brosmer, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what he's got up his sleeve. He's a young pup. It'll be his first career start there. And I did see something on social media that said this would be the first ever start for a quarterback from Minnesota. In, not talking about the Vikings, you know, a player that came and graduated from Minnesota, the first Gopher ever to start a game in the NFL at the quarterback position, which I thought was kind of interesting. So I'm a Seahawks fan. You guys know that. I'm not breaking any news, but as a Seahawks fan, I'm a little nervous. You know what you're getting out of nine. The guy behind him, kind of a question mark. So we'll see how it all plays out. I'll be very, very curious to see what that looks like there on Sunday. And also, speaking of the Seahawks, I saw this on social media. Jackson Smith and Jigba is going absolutely ham this season. By the way, I'm a ham guy. I am. My wife is not a big fan of ham. I think we're doing the turkey tomorrow. I hope you are as well. But I'm a big ham fan. I love me a good ham. Smoked ham. Good stuff. Spiral? But nevertheless, Jackson Smith and Jigba going absolute ham this season. He's got over 1,300 yards receiving. Unbelievable year through the first 12 games this season. Get this, Justin Fields, he's got 1,200 yards passing. Think about that for a second. You've got a wide receiver with more yards receiving than Justin Fields has yards passing. It just goes to show you it has been a rough, rough year there in New Jersey. Absolutely. Coming up next on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, we're going to put the 25 season to bed with head coach Mike Schmidt. He'll be joining us live in studio and also, as time permits as well, talk about the NSIC from last night on the basketball front. Again, don't forget tonight, Northern State v. Jamestown. That's going to be right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. And also of note, I saw this on social media earlier on yesterday as I was looking to see if there's any sort of like promotion, what have you, for this one for the Wolves tonight. Tonight is, the home opener, NSIC conference opener. Wear maroon to this one here tonight, and the first 100 students at the women's game get a Scooters refresher drink. Pretty good stuff there. So check out the Culver's Custard there, too. It's the home opener as the Wolves bring in Jamestown tonight. The first 100 students at the women's game get a Scooters refresher drink. So would encourage you to be there at the Barnett Center here tonight. Coming up next on the program, we're talking some Northern State football. Head coach Mike Schmidt, he'll be joining us next on FSA. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. By the way, for what it's worth, in segment one I was talking about, is there a name for like a group of cobras or something like that? And a big shout out to Cody, my guy, and he said an elapide or something like that. That's what they—that's what a family of snakes is called, an elapide. Or we'll go with that.
Sure.
We'll go with that. Yeah, absolutely. That's the voice of head coach Mike Schmidt, Northern State football. Coach, how are things?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving
to
you.
It's not here yet, but happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. And
This is always, I mean, it's all about football, right? And I think we're going to have a massive viewed game tomorrow with the Cowboys and Chiefs. Like, football is awesome right now. All the rivalry games and everything going on right now. You wish you were playing, but at the same time, you get a chance to kind of kick back and watch a little football now, too. So football is in full, man, this is awesome right now. These, all the rivalry games and all the big NFL matchups over the weekend. It's pretty cool.
It is the most wonderful time of the year.
It is, absolutely.
We are certainly approaching that. And we're going to talk a bunch of Northern State football news and notes and what's on tap here. But you are sitting across from me. You are sitting in the Cobra spot.
I know.
Yeah, Cobra went back east to Pennsylvania to visit his family there. He actually was going flying on standby because he couldn't get out yesterday. So he was, I think, 11 in of the 13 in the queue. So today was his lucky day, so he's headed back east. So you are sitting in the Cobra spot.
All right. This is a big, I mean, big shoes to fill right now.
Right.
I mean, this is pretty intimidating. You know, when you have me sit here, I didn't know if I was up for it or if I was even ready for the honor. But we'll try and step our game up here for the big guy.
I appreciate that. It is Thanksgiving tomorrow. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about Thanksgiving and your go-to foods. You know, there's probably something out there you're like, eh, I really could probably take or leave that side dish. But what's the go-to? What's like the the go-to food for Thanksgiving?
I will have like an entire box of stuffing. I mean, that is, for me, that's the one. I don't know. Like that's, I like it all the time, but I don't really eat it ever outside of that. But to me, the two best things around Thanksgiving are the stuffing that's got to be actually stuffed in, cooked with the turkey, mix around in there, get to meet each other, get to learn a little bit about each other, and then come back out and be ready to be consumed. And then the leftover turkey. There's nothing better than a good leftover turkey sandwich the night of Thanksgiving. Whenever that is, whether it's late night sneaking out and getting some, or just a late night, hey, everybody's kind of passed out, hanging out here. Hitting a good leftover turkey sandwich is pretty tops for me, too.
I'm a big fan of that. And I did a story earlier on this morning on Point FM. Do not make the same mistake I did years ago. When I first moved out to Aberdeen, I was the voice of the Saints back in the day. And on the men's basketball front, Coach Regal brought the entire team together, and he gave out all the leftovers, and I got a plate of leftovers. But it was in a tinfoil sort of deal. And tinfoil is like, it's either a great thing or a bad thing because it keeps all the heat in. So I actually got food poisoning by eating it because I left it in my car for a while. And then I woke up at 3, 4, and 5 o'clock in the morning throwing up. And then I had a 6.5-hour bus ride the next day to Hastings, Nebraska.
Fun. So fun.
Oh, it's the worst. Just the worst possible day. So just do not make that same mistake I did and just go with Tupperware or something plastic.
Yeah, let's make sure that we're all following the guidelines that we need to adhere to have proper consumption of the leftovers, right? Like, let's take care of them, put them away when we got to put them away, get them, you know, get them cooled right away. Maybe we can call in, you know, have somebody call in and you know, give us those tips, a chef or something that can, you know, somebody from the government can call in and give us what the proper temps we got to get to. But do not get food poisoning this weekend. I'm just going to get, I had a friend one time that was at a party like that, and he ate so much, he ate himself sick. So he got sick the next day.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, whatever. He just was sick the next day because he ate himself sick. Like, I'd prefer to be sick that way and not in the food poisoning way.
I'm with you. I think it was, potato salad from Seinfeld? The government. You know. Yeah, I just remember that one. All right. He is Mike Schmidt, head coach of the Northern State football squad here on FSA. And you guys actually just sent out a tweet here not that long ago. Football is fun. What a fun season for you guys here.
Yeah.
I know you'd like to still be playing right now, but at the end of the day, a successful season. I think he even said it in the post-game show following Jamestown. If 7-4 is a disappointment, that just goes to show you how far you guys have come.
Yeah, and I mean, to the point of being fun season, I mean, what a fun group of guys to be around. That is the coolest part of this year, and where we're at right now is just the group of guys that we have is really special. You know, I can't say it enough. We haven't had a single drinking ticket. We haven't had a single incident on campus this year. We have over a 3.0 GPA. Like, I'm going to keep hitting those points because we are doing it the right way. We are doing the things that we have to do to have a great group of people that are here. They do birthday parties every weekend for kids in the stadium. They do more volunteer hours than I've had in my time here. And really any group that I've seen as a head coach. So their impact is far beyond the field. They're awesome people to just be around. You get a chance to see them, how happy they are, how fun they are. It's just a good group of dudes, like just being around them. And I think we've kind of really
really settled in on what kind of person we're looking for. We call that a northern guy here, and the kind of person that we're trying to find. But on top of that, you know, we have 93 returners, and we had only two guys hit the transfer portal. I mean, go compare that to anybody else in our conference, anybody else in the country. You're not going to find that. To have two guys leave, zero starters leave. Now, knock on wood, we still have time that stuff could happen. But those are exit interviews. Those are what, you know, I'm leaving. And, hey, you know, with that being said, I'm in the portal, and thanks to all my boys. We don't have that here. You know, we have a couple guys that are in the portal that are moving on, and they're guys that are looking for playing time, and I'm happy for them and wish them nothing but the best. But I think you look around our league, and there's starters that are in the portal all over the place. Now, yep. You know, CSP loses their head coach, so they're all kind of trying to figure out what they're going to do. But Winona and Bemidji, they all had starters hop in the portal and try to find new places. We don't have that. And so I think it just speaks volumes about the people we have in our locker room, the culture that those guys have created, that we're good dudes, they're good people to be around, and they're all sticking around to be developed. So that culture of development is alive and well here as well. But yeah, do we want to win more games? 100%. Obviously, we want to win a lot more games. Do we want to do it better? Do we want to be more disciplined? Do we want to play better defense? Yes, we are going to address those things. And I think as we get into this offseason, like I have probably never been more laser focused on the side of the ball that I'm at, and on the actual schematics and things like that. Like, obviously I'm focused on those things, but I think the last couple of years it's been like laser focused, Teflon, here's the type of person we're getting, here's what we're trying to do to overhaul this thing. We've got that now. We have a locker room that's great. Now it's all these little things, all these little moments that we've got to just clean up, be fixed before the season gets here. So really excited about getting the offseason with this group of guys.
I can't recall if it was last year before the USF game, or sorry, the USD game, or the USF game this year, game one of the regular season. I truly don't remember. But I do recall in Talkin' Schmidt, you said, you know, we kind of zigged when everybody else zagged.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it cool how it's really worked out for you guys, because you are sort of the outlier. You're not going all in on the transfer portal. You're talking about developing guys. How cool is that, and sort of gratifying is that?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I will tell you this. It's hard to fight that. I work with this. I told the staff, you know, as we were going through last week and we didn't have guys leaving, you know, it looks a lot more fun to be on Twitter right now and to be on social media right now offering a bunch of transfers. That looks like a lot of fun because your name's out there. There's those dopamine hits that come with that. It looks really fun to be out offering guys. It's not. That's not fun. That is not a fun life. That is like what, you know, like what you'd say about like an influencer or something like that, where it's like, oh, it looks really fun to be out and not have a wife and kids and not have this and not have that. And you're out at dinner and you're doing this. And those are fun moments, but that's not fun to do that all the time. You know, there are fun moments when you want to offer a transfer or try to find guys that are going to enhance your roster. But that's not the life you want to live. You want to be married with kids and growing up and doing those things as a family person, right? Like, same thing with us. We want to have our guys in our program, stay, develop, keep moving through that. And hopefully guys want to play. Like, I hope it's not easy so that they want to stay. Like, that is always your fear, I think, as a coach, is that, are we making it too easy? That guys that maybe we're not performing at the level we need to, but we need to get better and do some of those things, to just be a better team, to get more players, to get better talent into your system. But I think, you know, I think you want to make sure that it's difficult. You're challenging guys and you're pushing them, and that guys that, maybe don't want to be pushed or don't want to be developed or don't want to maximize their talent, they are around for a free ride, that they should get pushed out by the system that you have in place. It should be difficult to do that. But that's kind of what I'm saying, is we don't have guys that are late. We don't have guys that are in trouble. We don't have guys getting bad grades or anything like that. Nothing like that. Like, and we can talk about, and we can go talk about Lorenzo Jones and other things about personal fouls at the end of the game. Do we want that? Of course we don't want that. The fact is, though, still, Lorenzo Jones is a great dude. He's an awesome teammate. He's a great guy. I have just as many emails of positivity towards him as anything else. So, of course, I'm going to stick up for him. Are those bad decisions? Those are bad decisions, right? And we certainly don't condone that and want that in our program. We're going to fix that, and we're going to keep having guys that are going to we're going to keep having guys that are going to play the right way. But does that make a guy a bad guy or a bad person or a bad team? No, not at all. Not in any way, shape, or form. Those are bad decisions by a good person that hit the wrong way. So we don't condone those things, and we don't want that. But I think right now that just the health of where we're at, you don't want to be that team that's just offering 40 people in the transfer portal, because that means you had a lot of guys leave. Mm-hmm. We don't have that right now. We have guys sticking around, staying. We were out ahead of that. And you saw a year ago, it's exactly what happened, like, to teams that were kind of a year or so behind us in making that move. And we kind of saw it early on. It hit us a little earlier. So we said, hey, we're going to reset this thing. We've reset it. You kind of get a chance to coach like that now. So I think it's really cool. It's fun. It's fun. It was hell for 2 years trying to get this, you know, on track. But it's a lot of fun to be with this group right now and to see kind of resetting that. And so you're never going to make all the people happy out there. Not everybody's happy with finishing 7-4. I'm not happy with finishing 7-4, but I think how we're doing things right now, it's the right way to do it for Northern State. It's our way of doing things. We're going to win our way. We believe in it. And I think we're all in right now with taking that next step.
And to buttress your point about Lorenzo, you can count those scenarios literally on one hand. Yeah. He had a time, maybe two, at the last game of the season with seconds to play. That's it. That's the duration of personal foul, 15-yard unsportsmanlike conducts that you guys had all year.
That's it.
That's it. It's one time.
Yeah.
Maybe two, tops. I mean, years past, again, small sample size. This is only my third year as the voice of the Wolves, but there were years past where you'd see multiple all the entire game.
Well, you see that out of our opponents.
Yeah.
All the time. You know, and we went on a stretch of 21 games without one.
Yeah.
Or 22 games without a single personal foul. That's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, to have that is pretty impressive. It says a lot about the group, and we're committed to that. And so, yeah, those are little moments that, yeah, we can, and those are magnified, and we don't want that stuff. But, you know, I think that's, like, for me, I want to address that. Like, that's a good thing to address. Let's make sure everybody knows. We know about those things. We know we're not dumb. We're trying to fix what we're trying to do. But I think that in terms of the big picture of what people want here, we have guys staying. We have guys developing. Again, Jake Adams is the only All-American from last year who returned to his school. They all either transferred or they graduated. He's the only one. That list is one person, and it's our guy. It's your guy. It's Northern State's guy that's back and here. And by the way, Jake had very successful surgery. He's on the mend now and going to be back and better than ever for next year. But, you know, the fact that we're getting these elite players and they come back is crazy. We're getting good dudes that are sticking around and staying. We're developing guys like Cooper Logan from Gettysburg is an all-conference player this year, and I couldn't be more proud of a guy like that. And I know we'll talk about those, but, you know, that's what a great example of guys from our area that come here, that stay, that work, and here they are finding success on the field. And not only that, but we're beating, like, Cooper Logan's on the field when we're beating a top 10 team in Duluth, and is on the field when we're beating Moorhead and Jack Strand, and it's pretty. I mean, think about how big the Wayne game is. I mean, the Wayne game. And the Moorhead win, those keep those two teams out of the playoffs at the end of the year. You know, now I wish that would have put us in the playoffs too. But those are big wins along the way here that have really been against good teams that maybe didn't look that big in the moment, but they sure were for us. And you got guys like Cooper Logan and Giovanni Szymanski, who was a high school wide receiver, that are all conference players doing great things in those moments.
Pretty phenomenal stuff. We'll take a quick break in the action. More Northern State football talk. Mike Schmidt joining us live in studio after this. Sports Hub continues on FSA, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. So hit that like button, and a friendly reminder that we have no Sports Hub tomorrow because of the Thanksgiving holiday and for Black Friday as well. Head coach Mike Schmidt joining us live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Let's hit on this all-conference list. You guys have nine guys named to the all-conference list. A pretty phenomenal thing, and I'm also pretty jacked up knowing the fact that the coaches and those that really voted on this sort of thing, they kind of understood, hey, even though player X might have missed some playing time, he's still probably the best player at that position. How cool is that? And gratifying to see the coaches, they understand.
Yeah. First of all, I think if you would have said we're going to have nine all-conference players, six on one side, three on the other, you would have said, okay, we're going to have six offensive players, three defensive players. It was the opposite. For whatever reason, that's just the way it worked out. You know, I wish we would have had more offensive guys there. It never goes the way you want it to. I am totally in favor of not having the coaches vote because there's too much things that are going on in there.
I would love to vote in this.
Yeah, I wish it was the play-by-play guys. I wish it was the media. You know, get Witt and whoever else in there on it, you know, and get all the play-by-play guys. They're watching it. They're tracking it. They're following it. I think it's – nowadays it's just – it's come on, get away from the coaches doing it and doing all this other stuff. Just have the people vote on it. You know, I think that the MIAA had a situation where a young man went in the portal before they voted on all-conference. So the coach called and rescinded his nomination for all-conference and – things like that. And it's like, but the kid earned it, you know, and why are we even putting that? Get the pettiness out. Get pettiness out of I want my guy, because I feel it all the time. Like, I will be like, oh, if I vote for this guy, then my guys, you know, it's going to come down to these two guys, you know, and so you feel it. And I always try to make sure that I'm voting what's right. What is the right thing to do? But you can feel it. You just know that there's politics that are kind of involved with that. So, you know, I think we should make a push to put the media people on it. I think that's the way to do it. I think you guys should just start doing it together and then let it take over and we just step aside and get out of there. So, that's first note. I think, you know, the other note is I'm really happy that Jake and Gabe were on there because they were still deserving of being all conference players. I mean, Gabe ends up tied for the league lead in sacks. Yeah. He didn't play the last five games of the year. That's insane. Jake just got past the last week of the season in total tackles. I think he still finished like fifth or whatever in total tackles with 93 tackles in 6.5 games. That is unbelievable, right? So he was on pace to doing that. And he also, I mean, Jake was unreal in our game against Duluth. So I think the people saw that. I think the coaches saw that. And I think those are easy votes. But to the other guys that are on there, I mean, Max is a two-time member of the all-conference team, well-deserving, had a very good season this year and really came on at the end of the year. Really, I mean, there was a lot of times he was showing up, but especially towards the end of the year, like we had nobody left and there was Max and kind of just staying in the fight for us there. So, again, we hit on the two all-conference linebackers. Really cool to have all three of them be all-conference is pretty neat. And then I think it's really awesome that Elijah Japp was honored. Very deserving. Another guy that was a linebacker and transitioned to safety, and I think you saw his growth as a player this year. And you saw him go from last year, okay, I'm kind of just focused on my job, to this year saying, okay, I know my job. What's the offense doing? How are they trying to attack me? And came up big for us in the Augie game, and he came up big for us all year when he was able to and when he wasn't injured. But a great season for the job, man. On the offense side, I mean, two obvious no-brainers, obviously, up front with Dan and Matt. Those are – I wish we could have had three up front. I think we should have had three up front. Disappointed in that one, but for sure, you know, congratulations to Matt and Dan, and they deserved it. They were good. They're leaders of the team. That offensive line was great all year, not giving up sacks, running the ball. The clip that we ran the ball at, yards per carry, is incredible. So to have those guys be honored was great. And then Wyatt was just sensational. I mean, just one of the greatest seasons a running back has had at Northern State. To have a top 10 rusher is pretty awesome. That's pretty elite. To have it be Wyatt, you know, I said midseason, like, all right, we're putting the saddle on Wyatt, and here we go. And if there's one guy who can do it, it's him. And he responded, and it was so fun to watch his game this year. You know, he's always had, we talked about it after the last game, but his evolution as a player, he added those 70-yard runs. He added that 96-yard run to his game. He just took it to a whole nother level this year. And so pretty neat to see him kind of flourish just by getting better, just by making great decisions in the hole like he always has, but then making that other last one to pop. And that's how you become a top 10 rusher in the country is doing stuff like that. So just an elite season for Wyatt Block.
But maybe the highlight, let's be frank, is him riding the bike.
Yes, without a doubt, is the Happy Gilmore skit with Jacoby Boykins and him hitting the quick wave on the bike. It just hits you every time. You know it's coming, you see it, and it just hits you and makes you laugh every time. He was pretty – I mean, that, and then obviously what the Dear Maria video turned into.
I watched that yesterday, by the way. I'm such a loser. Yeah. I pulled that up again yesterday.
Oh, 100%. I watched it on Monday, so I'm with you on this. But, like, just to have that then turn into the sensation that it turned into, million-plus views on each of the social media platforms, pretty neat. Wyatt became a star. Who would have seen that one coming, that Wyatt Block would have been a media star for us? But he certainly took it home with the wave on the bike and the Happy Gilmore skid, and then the Dear Maria was pretty awesome.
It was awesome. No two ways about it. Mike Schmidt joining us here in studio on FSA. Final one before our final break here. Highs and lows of the season. Mm-hmm. There's always highs and lows of every season, whether you're 9-2 or 2-9. Mm-hmm. What's the high and what's the low for you this
season? Yeah, I mean, I think the high was it's hard for me to parse them out because I'm so proud of how our guys fought in the Moorhead game. I'm so proud of our offense just hanging in there and never turning on the defense, even though we were giving up points, giving up yards. They just never blinked. They were in it with us, and that was pretty cool to see a team rally being down, and then the way we were able to get the two scores at the end of the game and then win in overtime. That was just such a playoff atmosphere, and it was just like, who else is going to get hurt here? You know, we got Jarrell and Ewald are the two safeties in that one, and it's Graham Borden with the play at the end that makes the play. So Cordae Jones is on the field. Like, mm-hmm. Holy smokes, man. Like, who would have picked that whole combination of people to even be out there ever? So that's so proud. But that Duluth one is just such a big win. And those guys, like, bouncing back from a loss against Bemidji and then having that was pretty awesome. And the crowd that we had that night and the atmosphere that was there was just sweet. And it's just so hard to parse out the lows, right? Like, it's so hard to like, move through the lows. The losses all just, you know, everybody else might think, well, it's the Minot or the Bemidji. And it's like, they all suck. Like, they are so devastating to you when it's what you do for a living, because it's your life. This is not, hey, wins and losses, it's your job and you go home. Like, this is what we live for. This coaching is a lifestyle. It's what you do for your life. And so those losses hurt equally. You wish you had the USF game. Like, I wish that we would have had a game before so that we were in better shape. I wish we would have had that response when they went up 35-28 and we could have responded. And let's see how we figure that thing out the last, you know, 4 minutes of the game. If it's 35-35, who's going to win that thing? So, you know, I think those are all suck, but I think it's just, the Minot game sucks because it's, you know, it feels like it's a humiliating loss and those kinds of things that are with it. It's two in a row to Minot. And, but for me, like, Dan Porsche stepped up and really made a statement about our program after that game and was like, listen, we're better people because we're here. We lost today. We didn't get the result, but, you know, we're this program's in such a good spot of where we're trying to get to. So, you know, I think all those losses suck. I mean, the losing to your two Sioux Falls teams, that probably hurts the most. Like, so it's like hard to parse out those two Bemidji Minot games that on paper you shouldn't lose, and the two in-state teams that you got to beat. So, you know, those all suck. And you know, thankfully we don't get USF next year, but we get Augie next year, so you get another opportunity to kind of get one of those.
Augie at home, right?
Augie at home.
Okay.
Should be a blackout. Halloween.
I was going to say that's going to be a 6 o'clock game, right?
I think it should be the blackout 6 o'clock. On Halloween, spooky season.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. I just make sure the jerseys are easy to read for me, okay?
Ours are easy to read.
I know, but sometimes, I think it was Minot, they've got like a jersey, like a army kind of jersey.
Yep.
I saw those, I'm like, I'm glad I didn't call that game. Even Roncalli, heck, I mean, I'm not throwing shade, maybe a little, but Roncalli's, their army jerseys are tough to read.
Yeah.
So just do me a favor.
I got you.
All right, appreciate that. We'll wrap up the Hub with head coach Mike Schmidt coming up next on FSA. Final segment for your Wolves midweek. Final one before December starts next week, if you can believe it. Mm-hmm. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by head coach Mike Schmidt here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And you actually mentioned it on the pregame show, I think, for the Jamestown game. and we're talking about it off the year. You open up the season against Shadron next year.
Yeah.
I mean, the dates and times, all that stuff is not officially out there, but what do you make of the 26 schedule?
Yeah. So, I mean, whatever. I don't know that this is that big of a deal. Schedule reveal stuff. Yeah. But we do. We open at home against Shadron State, which is a playoff team, just lost at Pitt State this past weekend in a really tight back-and-forth game. I think the lead changed two or three times in the fourth quarter there, and Pitt State, obviously, a very good program, co-champs of the MIAA. So, you know, that's an awesome schedule for us. That's great having a good team on your schedule. You get an opportunity to figure out where you're at. Your strength of schedule is going to be bolstered by a win or a game like that. And if you can win it, that's huge for your playoff implications down the road. So now the South flips. So we don't see the teams that we saw this year in the South. So that would be Sioux Falls. We don't see them. We don't see Wayne this year. So that all kind of flips where we are at. We get a chance to play Winona. Mm-hmm. We get a chance to play at Southwest. And then we get a chance to go play at Mankato. So those are our crossover games in the NSIC South early on. And then we still get Augie back at home again next year. So that's kind of the run of the schedule that's there. And then every other one in the North just flips where they were at. You know, from week four on, it just, you know, we were at Mary, so Mary's here. We were at Bemidji, Bemidji's here. We were home against Duluth, we're at Duluth. So that schedule just kind of flips. We get that bye week in there in the middle of the year there, week seven or eight or whatever that is. So I think great opening opponent at home. That's a big deal for us. We haven't opened at home in a long time.
No,
so
okay.
The only time in my time here, it was 2022 against Upper Iowa. So excited to open at home against a great opponent that is coached well, that plays really well. It'll be a great opening game.
Can you kind of walk us through the next couple weeks for you? I know you've probably done a lot of exit interviews, those sorts of things. What do those kind of look like? And are they fun? Are they challenging?
I love it. I love that kind of stuff. I love, you know, I don't mind. I talked with my wife about this on, you know, with uncomfortable conversations. She's like, I don't really like that. I'm like, I don't necessarily like it. You know, I don't relish it. That's, I think you're a sociopath if you relish difficult stuff like that. But I do think that you welcome it and you want to have those things. You want to go through the hard stuff and go take some of that stuff on head on. But no, I like it. It's telling guys, hey, here's what I think. What do you think you need to get better at? Here's what I think you need to get better at. Here's where you're at on exactly what you can, if you do these things, you can get to this spot, but here's kind of what, you know, your outlook kind of looks like for you. So we've done all that. We're moved on there. The boys come back on Monday. They have 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that we are working out together, and we do get a couple of days of workouts there with Coach Neer and the group there. So we'll do some testing and we do that. There's accountability to that. Who's doing stuff over break? So we test them back out when they come back. What did you do when you were gone from here? So there's just a little added accountability that kind of comes with that part of it right now. So we have that. We're doing official visits start next weekend, and we get recruits in here and trying to finish up this 2026 class that's kind of coming in. I think we have 19 commits right now, so we've had a great group that's already committed and ready to go and get those guys signed in February. But we got to finish out with some of these guys right now. A lot of guys are having, you know, postseason surgeries and things like that kind of along the line. And you know, obviously we're looking for very specific type people and players in the transfer portal. So obviously we're, you know, I think we've said it, but we're looking for two or three positions, and obviously quarterback's going to be a big thing that we got to try to address. We got a couple guys we like in the program. They're going to get their shots, and we need to add some other talent there and some veteran guys who probably played some snaps into that mix too.
Wow, it's going to be here before you know it. It's going to be week zero, and I think that's going to be a big, big opportunity for you guys to kind of get right going into week one in your conference slate. And I guess this is kind of the final one because we're up against the clock a little bit, but how much do you think that gives you guys, not necessarily a leg up, but a jump start to next year?
Oh yeah, that's just what it is, right? Like get up, get going, get everybody back here and get going. But we're all back. We have a great group of guys that are back. We'll have a great group that'll be here this summer. I think that's the biggest key. We need to get as many people here in the summertime. And it's hard. It's hard in Aberdeen. It's hard with guys from Wisconsin or have jobs or whatever. Like, but we need guys here in the summer. We need guys to be around together. We get that extra time with week zero, kind of building into that conference season, which is a huge difference from this past year and what we kind of went through. So we've got to find a way. Obviously, we got to find a way to do two things. We got to win our first game. Like, we've got to come out and find a way to win that first game, number one. And then number two, we got to find a way to have that consistency. But you heard Mike Elko talk about this after the Texas A&M win when they came back, when they were down, and they came back against South Carolina. And he said, we won that game 6 months ago. We won that in training together. We won that in everything that we were doing as a group, as a team, building this thing to where we are now. So it will happen here fast. But I think our point to these guys right now is be intentional, get together, build this thing with deep relationships, be able to call each other out, call each other up, not out. Let's get as many guys here in the summer as we can. But it's piece by piece. It's day by day. Grateful for this group and the season that we had, and really excited to get them back here after the break and get them going.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
That's head coach Mike Schmidt here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Northern State men's basketball, women's basketball tonight, 5:30 and 7:30.